Kevin's Den is Wrecking Ball Radio.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than burning in a special place in hell. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry and Pip Helix. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, everybody.
So later on, Lieutenant Dave Daugherty, the Bergenfield Police Department, will be dropping by to talk about what his department is doing to fight scammers and cyber criminals. And maybe we'll get a few stories about some of the wilder things that he's seen as an officer on the law that you guys, you rule breakers, do.
Why are you pointing at me?
Yeah, because I know what you do. And Joe came up with this week's comedy premise that we hate.
Yes.
A classic, The Arms. We'll explain. I'm sure you've, yes. If you watch improv or stand-up comedy, you've come across The Arms, and Joe's not a fan, and we'll talk about that. But how can I, Lady Bits were wreaking havoc in the news this past week.
As they often do.
As they often do. Not just in personal lives. Sometimes Lady Bits, they cause problems. This week they caused some for Hillary Clinton. Madeleine Albright and Gloria Steinem called on young women who supported Mr. Sanders to essentially grow up and get with the program. While introducing Hillary at a rally in New Hampshire, Albright, 78, the first female Secretary of State, by the way, talked about the importance of electing a woman in the country's highest office in a dig at the revolution that Mr. Sanders often speaks. She said, "For the first female commander-in-chief would be a true revolution." And she scolded those who would not vote for her, say that women who would not vote for Hillary, well, there's a special place in hell for those women. And Ms. Steinem, Gloria Steinem, everybody knows her, woman's activist,
yes,
said essentially that the young women are going to Bernie for the boys. She backpedaled off of that. Pip, you're the one who has that equipment here on the show.
Yes, I do.
You know, I've tried to grow one in a lab. Has not worked for me. Would
or at least I'm the only one that pretends to have one.
Exactly.
The show.
Do you feel compelled to vote with your lady bits?
No. You know what? It's really hard to reach up to the toggles with that, and it doesn't have the gripping strength that I would need. Oh,
Kegel
wait.
Exercises.
You mean, yeah. Oh, you mean, like, actually think that way. No. 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 This is ridiculous. This is just as ridiculous as saying that you're going to vote for a man just because he has what he has.
Well, I mean, some people probably voted for Obama because he was an African-American, and we hadn't had an African-American president before.
And I do understand that, and I would be excited to see when the time is right for the country to have a female president, the female president that's right for the country and has the right stuff for the job. But I don't mean, I'm not talking about the lady bits.
No,
part.
No, I got you.
I'm talking about the right, you know, experience.
So are you insulted by that?
I am.
So you don't feel compelled at all to support, because this is the first female to support.
No,
it
no.
Has no bearing on your decision making.
I mean, I thought about that. I mean, I can, you know, it would be nice, but I think that it's ridiculous to vote for a female just because of her gender. Mm-hmm. It's just a ridiculous thing. I don't want to vote for a redhead just because of that either.
Well, you if know. She was equally as qualified as a male, and you felt the same in your eye, would you lean towards the woman?
You know what? If I felt that she was equally qualified as a man, like it was, you know, neck and neck, yeah, I probably would feel like I would want to see a female perspective in the White House. Mm-hmm. However, I'm not going to vote. I think that she's slippery and kind of dirty.
We're talking about Hillary or the bitch?
We're talking. It could be either. Okay. But at this point, I'm talking about Hillary. And I really am insulted that the feminists are saying to, and now they're talking to a younger group of women than I am, but I consider myself a feminist, and I'm insulted that they're saying that the girls are flocking to the place where the boys are.
She backed off that, but yeah.
Yeah, I know, but it was said.
Yeah,
it was said, and she meant it when she said it.
My wife was offended by, I don't know if she heard what Gloria Steinem said. She was offended by Hillary, though.
Oh, yeah.
She was offended by what Hillary said. I think I can understand, because it kind of reduces you to your privates.
Yes, and that you only think, you know what, I'm only going to vote for a girl. That's
but
ridiculous.
But my young daughter, when she was younger, preferred girl teachers. So
totally different thing.
No, well,
talking about a child.
Maybe you should be thinking like a 5-year-old.
But
I'm sorry, women have distinct preferences for what kind of gynecologist they're going to go to. Some women are like, I'm only going to a woman. And some people are like, no, I'm only going to go to a man. This is the president of the United States. They're not going to be examining the
I think Caitlyn Jenner should be president.
Oh, dear God.
Then we have
why?
We have a little bit of everything then. Everybody's happy. I'm all about the compromise.
What were you going to say, Joe? I'm sorry.
No problem at all. I think that the whole feminist movement was telling women, speak up for yourself, speak your mind, speak what you feel, and then to turn around and say, don't. You have to vote for a woman because she's a woman is ridiculous. If,
yes.
You know, I mean, you should vote on who you feel the best person is and not of their gender. And you shouldn't have to be guilted into it because of the feminist movement. It's very hypocritical.
Yeah, they might have been disappointed with, you know, young women's choices, but you can't guilt them into it. That's a ridiculous
you can't,
way
you
to
can't
choose.
Guilt them into it. And for something you've been telling women, you got to speak free, speak your mind, speak how you feel. And unless it contradicts what we our agenda, then, you know, that's a problem. Can't do that.
All right. Well, Ted Cruz had some issues with the old lady parts this week as well. Ted Cruz's campaign has yanked an attack ad against rival Republican contender Marco Rubio after it was revealed that he featured a former softcore porn actress. Cruz's campaign said in a statement to NBC News on Thursday that it was swapping the commercial with a new one after learning the actress Amy Lindsay's background. The actress responded to an open casting call. She passed her audition and got the job. Unfortunately, she was not vetted by the casting company. Had the campaign known of her full filmography, we obviously would not have let her appear in the ad. The campaign is taking the ad down and replacing it with a different commercial. Lindsay was a supporter of Cruz's conservative Christian values. Cruz, meanwhile, is trying to stake his campaign in South Carolina to the evangelical vote. All right, first question. I have a hard time believing, I know this is going to be wrong, I'm going to upset the porn stars that listen to us, but I have a hard time believing that a porn star has Christian values.
It's
something about being passed around.
Well, wait, I have a question for
you. When I think, what would Jesus do? I don't think he would put that there.
It's true, but basically it's somebody that was that did former soft porn movies, softcore porn movies. And, you know, that was years ago. They could have had a change of
mind. No, I understand that, but she still has the Christian values. Well, like, I always laugh when friends tell me they watch these videos, and like, the starlet or the male actor will have, like, a Jewish star or a cross that they wear. And I'm thinking, really? You couldn't take that off for the scene?
Like, you idiot. Yeah.
I mean, I get that you're religious and it's really cool, but perhaps while things are going all over the place, maybe we don't need to be wearing the jewelry.
Yeah. Well, now I'm trying to
make this as clean and as innocuous as possible.
Yes. One of the things that was kind of ridiculous is that, now, she wanted the job, so she didn't, I mean, she said, oh, well, I just assumed that they knew. I mean, now, unless you watch that kind of film, I mean...
No, I'm going to stop you right there. You're hiring somebody? Step one, Google search.
No, it was on them to look it up. I'm saying that she said, I just assumed they knew.
Yeah, that's fine.
But unless you're somebody like Tracy Lords that, you know, was like really famous for having to... But she did like hardcore. I need actually, as clean as you can, an explanation of what softcore is supposed to mean.
No penetration.
Okay. All right.
That you see.
That you can actually see.
When they do these films, so I've been told, they edit them certain ways. Like, so ones that you could see on HBO and Cinemax where you really don't see anything, they'll block body parts with a hand or a leg or something.
Yeah.
Then there's the more adult version.
Yeah, where they're up close like a microscope.
So she might have been showing her top stuff, maybe not her bottom stuff, but you certainly, if it's softcore, you certainly, there was no exchanging of... fluids, and there was no penetration.
Okay, so there's the indication that that's what they're doing, but you can't, like, see it, like, up close
and
personal.
It could be, like, it's like R+.
Oh, okay.
You know, right. It's more than R.
Yeah, okay. No,
but I get why Ted Cruz wouldn't want that, but when you're Ted Cruz and you're doing all these slimy things like lying all the time, where even members of your own party are calling you a liar left and right, I really don't think hiring this actress is the worst thing you're doing. Joe, where am I wrong?
The thing is that you have to double check and do a background check on these actors and actresses.
At least a Google search.
Or a Google search. I mean, somebody, it's like when we were talking about who took the picture of Canada and said, God bless America.
That was Marco Rubio. That came out.
They hire temporary staff, and this temporary staff, sometimes they don't get the best people they could get. And they really need to be more detail-oriented, you know.
Yeah, well, it seems like some of them are a pack of maroons, and other ones are more detail-oriented.
But it happens all the time. Sure. Every election.
So the last thing on Cruz, what's more offensive? Taking an endorsement from a preacher that says Jews should be hunted and killed, appearing on stage with a preacher that says we should kill the homosexuals, or having a campaign ad with a former soft porn star on the night, or on the night of the election, telling, tweeting out that one of your competitors has left the race and is no longer. Which out of those four things is, to me, the ad not so bad.
Not so much. So no, much. Not really.
You could have let her keep the gig.
I think it's a little bit further up the slippery slope, if you will, than hunting the Jews and killing the homosexuals.
And Cruz has been he's been endorsed and been on stage with all these despicable people.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Oh, yes.
All right. Well, so coming up next, we're going to have somebody who's not despicable. We're going to have Lieutenant Dave Daugherty of the Bergenfield Police Department going to tell us what you need to know about scammers and cybercrime. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. We are back. You are listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. Joe and Pip and myself are joined by Lieutenant Dave Daugherty of the Bergenfield Police Department. Hello, Dave.
Hey, folks. How's it going?
It is going well. I'm glad you came here. Dave and I met each other after a comedy show. I was hauled out in cuffs. But then I said, I'll let you come on the radio. And
thank you for your,
pay the fine,
thank you, officer.
Yeah, I still paid the fine.
Been high tide.
I think Joe called in the complaint. But as I do during our my live comedy show, I promote the radio show. And one of the things I mention is how we fight scammers and cybercrime. And it turns out that's something that you do, isn't it?
That's right, yes.
So we got to talking, and I'm thrilled because I find that local law enforcement is something that when people get scammed, they're afraid to embrace and reach out to. So I really want to get to what you guys can do, what a victim can do.
Right.
I really want to get into the nuts and bolts of it. So I always tell people when they reach out to me and that they're a victim of cyber scams or cyber fraud, that the first thing they should always do is contact their local police. Is that the right move?
That's the first step, yes, but there's a lot you still have to do in order to protect yourself after you've been the victim. Obviously, prevention is the key, but if you're just talking about what to do once you become a victim,
yes,
the first thing you would do, obviously, is report it to the police department.
Okay. A lot of times they don't, but I'm glad that I'm directing people in the right way. So I'm a victim. I've been scammed. I reach out to the local police department. What type of evidence should I bring with me to help you do your job better?
Well, anything that you have, the more the better. I mean, quite frankly, if you have any type of information about where the fraud or the scam is originating from, that would be very helpful. But at a minimum, what you need to do is bring your identification in.
Okay.
Some type of pedigree, proof that you are who you say you are. And then any corroborating documents, bank statements, credit card information, anything else that would lead us in the right direction.
Western Union payments, emails.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Facebook conversation.
Exactly.
Meeting somebody on a dating site like a Match.com.
Right.
You want it all.
Right. Anything you could possibly give us so we can investigate it, look into it, it would definitely help.
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
No. I was just going to say that sometimes people think that, oh, well, that little piece won't matter to them, or I'm embarrassed by what I said there. But I think that that's where they really have to stop worrying about that and start trying to be helpful so that you can track them down.
That's true. And actually what you're talking about, especially with romance scams,
mm-hmm.
if you talk about that, people are afraid to get help because sometimes these scams go so far that they have said or did things that are embarrassing.
We see that a lot. A lot of blackmail. They have these sexy chats with them, and unfortunately they take pictures of their body parts, and then the criminal uses that to, I'm going to tell your family, I'm going to tell your work.
Exactly.
So this is so when this is presented to you, you're looking at it very clinically. You're not judging them.
We never judge anybody. As a matter of fact, we always tell people, when I do these presentations, in Bergenfield as an example,
yes,
I always tell people, if you're not sure if you should come, you should come.
Yes.
I can't tell you how many times, as an example on a side note, if I go investigate a burglary, and it's happened before when I was a patrolman, investigating a burglary, and what we do is called a canvas of the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk to the neighbors, and on more than one occasion, it's happened that, you know what? I saw a car parked there last night. I didn't think to call. I didn't think anything of it. Imagine if they had called. It's
right.
Better to call and let us decide if it's important or not. We're there to help. We want to do our jobs. So if you think you shouldn't call or you can't be bothered,
mm-hmm.
you really should, because you don't know where it's going to end either. If you're the victim of identity theft or a scam of some sort, unless you get help, you're not going to be able to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
I hear this quite often. I deal with a lot of victims. One of the greatest frustrations I hear is that they do contact the local police, and the local police will then turn them away, go, we can't do anything. You need to turn it into the FBI. And very often the FBI does not do much for whatever the reasons are. They don't do anything. Should, in these cases, should the local police be doing more?
Well, I can only speak for Bergenfield that we do everything we possibly can. Can I say I'm sure that there are departments out there that don't do all that they can do? Probably. I do have to say part of the problem comes from a jurisdictional issue.
If I'm in Bergenfield and I'm a victim of a romance scammer and I've deduced that the person actually is in Nigeria or Ghana and I bring this to you, is there any merit in me bringing this to you, even though the criminal is overseas?
Yes, because if it did go beyond us, say, to an international agency or a national agency like the FBI, mm-hmm. it would at least have a trail showing when you brought it to the attention of the police department, showing that you're serious.
So the police, even if they can't do anything, they should at least write a report.
Right. I can tell you what we do in Bergenfield as an example.
Okay.
Because you have to remember what I was saying before about the jurisdictional issue. Think about this. You have somebody, your victim lives in Bergenfield.
Right.
Okay. Then some, we'll call him a scale, lives out in California. Mm-hmm. Gets your victim's information. They tell the victim to deposit money into an account in Tenafly, okay, and that's withdrawn in Cape May.
Right.
Where did your identity theft occur? So part of the problem you have is jurisdictional issues, especially if it's over in another state.
Right.
Because whereas in New Jersey our laws are uniform, they might be totally different someplace else. So, where was I going with this?
People would be afraid to say, well, you know, I know they're
able to do anything.
I know
so
they're
yes.
in Africa, and they're thinking, well, but we're in New Jersey, so what?
Right.
What good can
so
you?
So, every police department, at the very least, every police department should at least file a report,
right? And that's what mm-hmm. we do. And that's where I was going. I just remembered that.
good thing we're here to help.
Yes, you guys don't need me.
Is there some kind of database through the New Jersey Police Department or that you can all share information on a particular case through all the jurisdictions?
There are databases that are in effect that government agencies do use.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I couldn't really detail all of them right now, but we do the best we can to share the information. Like
right.
as an example in Bergenfield. Oh, and by the way, going back to your point though, before I go into that one,
mm-hmm.
We will, if a fraud happened in another town, we'll take a report, we'll take all the information from the victim who's reporting it in Bergenfield,
mm-hmm.
and we'll send it to the other agency. Hey guys, listen, this is what happened in your agency, just so you know. Why don't you reach out for the victim and see if they want to sign complaints? 9 times out of 10, it goes nowhere. We can talk more about that later, though.
But at least it's more of an official document being
right.
sent from
right.
the,
I think
police
that, I think
department
the key
to police
is,
department.
In all instances, you want a paper trail.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Right. You want to show that you're doing what you can. But like as an example on that, to your point, Ms. Helix.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
To your point, as an example, some of the things that we would do, and I don't want to talk too much about our investigative techniques.
Right. No. You don't want to show your hand.
Right. But we always share
as much.
I did
like the way you searched Joe, though. I did like that.
So things are going well, Joe?
I guess I'll be let out in cuffs. All right. I'll come quietly.
We share as much information as we possibly can with mm-hmm. with every other agency we possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, we have a lot of software nowadays, which helps that. It used to be that we couldn't even share information on identity thefts with other agencies because there was just no media or medium for that.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. What are some of the constraints that as a local police department you face when you're trying to pursue these cyber criminals? Jurisdiction, I'm guessing, is one.
Right.
Are there any other ones?
Oh, absolutely. This might be a good or a bad thing, but basically a lot of the times the victims just don't want to proceed further for criminal complaints.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, if you guys are the victim's identity theft and you've been defrauded out of $5,000, $10,000, and your bank says, look, you reported to the police, you're fine. We'll get you the money back. Don't
right.
worry about it. It's not your responsibility. Now, we come to you and we say, hey, well, you know who stole your $10,000? Would you like to sign complaints? I don't know. I don't have to pay for it. Yes, but you'll have to go to court. All right, you'll have to take time off of work and go to court. Do you want to sign complaints now? What do you think most people say?
No.
So they're just thinking about themselves. You know, whereas if they went to court, they could put this person behind
I'm glad that it works out that they're not responsible for the money. But if you think about it like this, do you really think the banks are eating that $10,000?
Oh, no.
Exactly.
They're very generous to banks.
It's all going to come from somewhere. So,
what's the relationship between local police, state, and federal agencies when it comes to apprehending cyber criminals and scammers? How well are you able to work with the different agencies?
Well, most of the time, if it turns out to be a major case, we'll refer it to the prosecutor's office, and then they'll reach out to a state agency if need be. I've only had a couple of success stories who have actually made arrests in Bergenfield or from Bergenfield.
I'm going to get to those in a little bit.
Okay, we can do that. But, yeah, we do have a good network. We do have a good relationship with all their agencies, and we do the best we can together.
All right, so really cooperation is the key. Do you ever get stonewalled? Is that like
by other agencies? Very rarely.
So the FBI is willing to do their part.
I've never actually done anything with the FBI myself, nor I'm not sure my detectives have either. But again, most of the time, we'll reach out for the prosecutor's office first, and then if it's going to go beyond the prosecutor's office, a county agency, they'd be the ones to decide. If it was a major case, they probably would.
Now, are you more likely to have, is a person more likely to have success going through you, or if they contact the state themselves?
They should always contact the local police department.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We got more with Lieutenant Dave Daugherty. When we come back, you're listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. We're back. You are listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. We are joined by Lieutenant Dave Daugherty of the Bergenfield Police Department. We were talking about cybersecurity and what you should do if you are the victim of a scam. So, Dave, let's continue with that. Does every local police department face the same restraints, or does it vary from town to town, state to state?
I would say there's definitely going to be a variable, you know, as far as the type of agency that the person is reporting it to.
Mm-hmm.
Bergenfield is a it's a sizable community, so we do have a lot of resources that we can use. But a lot of times, I mean, you look at some towns that have 4 and 5 cops, they might take a very simple report, you know. So it really depends is what I'm saying. But go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, what are some of the most common types of scams and cyber fraud that you're seeing reported?
Honestly, the types of fraud and scam is limited only by the bad guy's imagination. The stuff they think of is just unreal. And if you think of it like this, they rely on volume, meaning that the more they try this, the better. Here's an example of a perfect scam. Somebody calls you up and says, "Miss Helix, we understand, this is Chase Amazon or this is Chase Bank Card, whatever, some bank that you probably use.
Yes.
Okay? Some credit card. And they say to you, we have information that your credit card may have been fraudulently used in California.
Mm-hmm.
And right off the bat, I have a Chase credit card, and I was never in California. So
you start getting nervous.
Yeah, so you're going to stay on the phone with them now.
Right.
Now, they say to you, yes, we see some charges for Oshkosh Bagosh, okay, kids' clothes in California totaling $78. Well, I wasn't in California. So then they say to you, well, Miss Helix, is your credit card number, or what is your credit card number, just to confirm we have the right information? Well, most people would not supply that, and they'd say, I'll call back. But think about this. If you call 100 people, I can tell you for a fact, 2 of those people will give that number.
Yes.
So, volume.
Well, the credit card company does ask you to confirm who you are, though.
Right. This is why, this is my advice. Again, this is prevention now. I always tell people that if you get a call from somebody identifying themselves as your bank, or an email from somebody identifying themselves as your bank, your credit card, ignore it. Take out your actual bill and call the number on the bill and say, hey, guys, I understand there was some problem with my account. What's the deal?
Mm-hmm.
If they say, well, yes, actually, then you take care of it. Or they say, we don't know what you're talking about.
So it's always best to initiate.
It's best to
initiate the contact
right.
with the credit card or whoever right. it is. Although American Express has called me when they thought things were fraudulent. I mean, there wasn't, but they were like, oh, we're denying those charges because he has a comic you drive from state to state.
Well, yeah.
Great. Yes.
Well, also somebody at the Old Day program was saying today that he was was notified that his credit card was being used at a Victoria's Secret in Texas. So.
Oh, I hope he got something nice for himself.
Yeah.
Something frilly. Sounds lovely.
Then if it is, he's never been to Texas.
Oh. I hope whoever it is sends him at least pictures.
Yeah, right.
I just got a call from American Express. I had ordered a book from England, and they were checking up on me to make sure, but they left
You don't seem to like the reading type.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Isn't a cat food charge. We don't. Is this you?
Yeah. You don't seem educated. What are you doing with books
A book.
Such?
It doesn't say Friskies on it. It can't be you.
It's not a Morris calendar. We immediately stop the charge. American Express, we have your back.
Hold on a second. What do you think most of the hoard is made of?
Miss Helix, did you take a reading? We don't see you registering for Rosetta Stone.
Yeah. So fraudulent charges in England. Morris, time for dinner.
But American Express.
They will check on you.
The American Express,
right.
Yeah.
That's right. They will. Yeah. And you know what? If a credit card company calls you and asks you to confirm stuff that you know you did already.
They'll ask you for your
password.
There's
nothing wrong with that. Okay.
Right.
But if they call up and they seem kind of vague, then put it this way. In your case, if they call up and they say, hey, listen, we denied these charges. Say, okay, great. Although they were probably actual charges that you made.
They were. It's usually gas stations because I'm driving 13 hours a day. No. So they go from state to state. They don't go, no maniac would drive this much. That's what it's always been.
The bottom line, though, is if they start asking you for pedigree information, your name, your date of birth, your credit card number, then they want you to so that they can confirm it, say, uh-uh, I'm not doing that.
They usually ask for the password, I think.
That security code on your card. Which is gold, because once they have that, if for some reason they have your credit card number from a receipt that they got, and then you give them the security code too, they can go online shopping like crazy.
Would it be good to ask them for a case number? So if you have, can I call you back? Would there be a case
Absolutely.
Number?
Absolutely, that's a very good
idea.
And
then call the 1-800, not the number they gave you, but a 1-800 number, refer to the case number. Either they look it up or it's a scam.
You call the number on the bill. Don't Google them either. Don't Google American Express phone number.
No, call what's on the bill,
right.
What you've received directly from them.
You know it's correct, so.
It's also right on the back of your card.
That's another idea.
You know, that's
that.
What I call
that. Yes, it's right on the back of the card, yes.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
he's a funny one. Cops got jokes.
I didn't know the credit card had a back to it.
I got
to
tell you, every time I run in with the cops, I'm always happy when they're laughing.
Yes.
Yes. It's not all about magnetic strips, you know. You got to read all that stuff.
Keep it clean.
I was trying.
I know. What are some of the other types of fraud and scam that you're coming across?
Well, here's a common one, actually. This is what we call the bail or fine scam. This is where you get a call from somebody, and they say to you, your loved one, whoever it may be, has been arrested, and then you need to send bail money right away. Now, usually, it's people that have been overseas. So let's say, you know, you get a call from your wife or husband. I'm sorry. You get a call that your...
your husband called, Devin.
Your wife or husband are away on business. Okay?
No, they really do know everything about me.
Yeah, they overseas. Do.
Hey, I'm trying to talk here. No, I'm kidding.
He's feisty.
He really is. You come with a gun, you can't be that way.
Yes, please.
Joe, if you had a gun, you could be number one, Mike.
No. It would turn fire.
I'm very sorry. So if you get a call that a loved one is on vacation, which is true, one of your relatives or family members is actually on a vacation overseas, and you get a call saying that that loved one has been arrested in the country that you know that they went to, okay, you need to send money right away for bail.
I've seen that in the emails.
I've gotten one.
Yeah,
I've gotten one.
You might say, how do these people even know that my loved one, family member, or relative is away?
Right.
Well, social media. Mm-hmm. How else do you think that social media gets information about your... They'll call... Remember before I was talking about the credit card information? They'll call you up and say, Miss Helix, this is Miss Helix of, you know, Edgewater, New Jersey, right?
Right.
Because that's what they see on Facebook.
Yes.
And they could figure out your birthday from Facebook.
Right.
And even though you might have everything set up private, you have to remember that people can always send out information about you on that. So that's one way that I can actually figure out when your family member or loved one is on vacation, and then they make these calls then. Joe, in your case, what happened with
it was
that?
My sister-in-law was on vacation with her husband, and I get an email saying that they lost their plane tickets, they've been detained or something to that effect. Now, what was a tip-off is that they were not in the country that they were specifying, because my wife was just talking to them the day before. They were in no trouble whatsoever. So I told my wife, I go, just email your sister, text it, just let her know that somebody's trying to scam us. Because if I hadn't spoke to them, we hadn't spoken to them the day before, and I didn't know where they were, I might have been alluded that there might be a problem. But since how we had clarification where they were, everything was fine, it was no trouble, you know, it was deciphered as a scam, obviously it was.
Next question, I have to ask you, because this is a very big part of reload scams, and I deal with this a lot.
Jelly donuts.
I don't even know what that means.
Oh,
no, we didn't.
You thought you asked me a question about donuts?
That's what the question means.
No. I'm not anti-copite. I'm an anti-copite.
I wanted to know.
What?
His favorite donut.
Jelly. Not powdered, because the white powder gets on the blue uniform and it looks really bad.
Yeah, I'm
going to
edit this out. Okay. Nobody's a comic here. Anyway. Next question. Trying to do the serious part.
Yeah, I know, but I sized him up for Boston Cream, so I'm very surprised by the answer.
You sized him up for Boston Cream?
Yeah, I do that. It's a hobby of mine.
Chocolate covered?
Of course.
Can we be serious, please? No, I'm kidding. David, I'm so sorry. I know this is your show, and I'm rarely
I'm just thinking about earlier conversations we had off air. I'm like, what? We have to do a serious professional interview.
Right.
You know, I'm getting the what for, the peers, the colleagues.
Now we're going to bring up stereotypes about police.
Yeah, it's like, wait
a second. That the police are actually asking.
I actually try to do the professional. And they,
like, you would think it's a question we ask. No, he brings it up to us.
Yeah, exactly.
We're very pro-police officer.
I told you I was going to give you a professional interview for this.
And it is.
Does anybody else smell bacon?
No, whoa.
I thought, let's go for the whole. If we're going to bust you.
My gosh.
If we're going to bust him, let's go full force.
He busted himself.
I know he did.
I'm trying to do a professional show.
Sorry, I don't know how to do that.
I know. I keep waiting. Neither does he. I don't feel bad for anything I said before now.
There you go.
I wasn't there for anything you said before.
Exactly.
That's right.
You'll listen to it on replay. You'll be mortified. Right. Next question, though, because I get this a lot, and it's a part of reload scams. Will law enforcement ever charge a victim any fees to file a complaint, open a case, or bring a criminal justice?
Good question.
Thank you. Again, I try to ask them when we're not riffing about donuts.
Donuts.
And again, I can say that probably there are some agencies that would. I can't really answer for other agencies. I can answer for us. With us, you don't even have to pay for the report when you come in. We do everything. We're not going to charge
you. Now, police reports is something that I know sometimes you do have to pay for.
I think accident reports, you have to pay $2.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
About right.
But for the victim
of
that,
I mean, that's nothing.
For the victim of a crime, I don't know that our records bureau would charge anything for the report. So, but are there agencies that might charge something? It's possible.
Would they be, if they were to charge something, would it be like a percentage of like what you lost? So I lost $10,000 in a scam. If you want to open this up, because we've seen this, it has to be 5% of your loss.
Oh, I hope not. That sounds almost criminal.
Well, that's what we're dealing with. It's criminals. But I'm trying to get this on the record so that they're hearing from law enforcement besides from me and my colleagues telling them, no, they're not going to charge you for anything.
Right.
I want to get a more official source than me.
You're saying that if somebody's looking to report an identity theft?
They're called reload scammers. They'll say, we're going to get your money. We're going to bring this person to justice. It's just going to cost you.
Oh, you mean like the example that you were dealing with? Didn't you guys have a case like that you were talking about once
before?
Yes,
we're talking about Ann Jackson.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. With that case?
That's just an example. It's very common, but we see it a lot.
Oh, yeah. A police department should not charge.
And even if they do, I don't think it would be a percentage. Usually if it was something like that. Hey, it's the clerk's fee. Clerk's fee is $60. You know,
would it ever be $1,500?
No, absolutely not.
I'll
if somebody is getting an email or information saying that in order to take a report, they need to send a check or a money order to the following address, I wouldn't do it.
Now, the money when it's returned, we've heard this a lot. Well, the court's holding the money. Or your money's being transferred from place to place to place. In your experience, where is the money if they recover the money? How do they get the money back?
I haven't actually dealt in any cases where we've gotten actual money back. Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to get the money back.
Yes.
Usually once the money is gone, it's gone.
And again, because the bank will usually absorb that and eat it, shall we say, you know, the credit card company, wherever it may be.
I find the banks are not very cooperative.
Are you talking about like when somebody actually sends this money in order to get money back?
They send it, you know, hey, I'm sending this to you for food. Here's $500 for food. And then I lost the money. Can I get the money back? And it's like, well, if you want to get the money back, it's going to cost you $300 in fees, or it's a $90 bank fee. It's, you know, they come up with all these fees, and they say you have to pay now, you have to pay now, you have to pay now. Is there the police would never have pressuring tactics?
Exactly.
Okay.
I thought you were actually saying that you had an incident where a police department was actually doing this. But
not a legitimate one.
Okay. So you had somebody feigning to be a police agency.
All the time.
I could definitely see that.
Police, FBI, Interpol, banks, lawyers, you name it.
And there's always this extraordinary fee that comes with it, which we know, you know, we've always known to seem ridiculous. And we just wanted to clarify that it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing payment has to be by money order, right? Nine times out of 10.
Or you could do a bank transfer.
Okay.
But one of the frauds. directly to my account, you must do it now. We're leaving for China.
Exactly.
Yeah, they always put you over a bow. It's got to be done now. We're leaving. The bank's closing in 20 minutes, stuff like that.
But a legitimate law agency is not going to charge you thousands of dollars.
Absolutely not.
And a local police department is not going to charge you hundreds of dollars to open up to file a police report.
Absolutely
or to
not.
Go after the criminals.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Just had to get that on the record.
They wouldn't have to write speeding tickets anymore if they did that. there'd be an incredible revenue source. What if, that, if and nobody would file a claim ever.
But that's just victimizing a victim. You know,
absolutely.
So.
That's why they're called reload scammers. What are some of the greatest frustrations in trying to bring justice in cases of cyber scams and online fraud?
Well, again, it's just that we might actually work out a case where we know who's responsible. We can find an actor, the bad guy, if you will. And the victim just doesn't want to get involved because they are not going to be out the money.
So it's right. The victims on your case.
Well, it's the victims plus the jurisdictional issue. It's a perfect storm of a difficult situation to prosecute. It really is. Mm-hmm. That's why the best thing that we can do is push awareness and education on it, which is what I have to commend you for doing on the show.
Thank you.
That's the only fix for this. You'd be surprised how much people don't know about what goes on and what to expect and who to trust and who not to trust.
Well, sure, because they've already been vulnerable to this person,
right.
And now they're well. A lot of thing that we've seen is that people are ashamed to admit once they realize, oh, I've been duped. They're ashamed, especially when it's so personal of an issue, like it's a romance scammer,
right.
Because it wasn't just oh. I mean, not that it's. I'm not trying to minimize it, but it's not that someone stole their money, but they also stole a big part of them emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really embarrassed to come forward.
Absolutely true. Absolutely. You know?
What are some of the greatest victories that the Bergenfield Police Department has had in bringing some of these people to justice, these scammers?
I can actually think of one that comes to mind, maybe two actually. And both of them, one was kind of a fluke that we actually got this person.
Well, that's comforting. thanks, Barty Fife.
Well, golly, I'll tell you, Angie just came on out.
Over the bad guy, and that was it. Whoa, that's what I'm looking for.
He was stealing our Wi-Fi at the precinct.
Wait, do you know something about that guy?
I caught him, Angie, right by the computer.
So two cases I can think of. One actually involves, I had a detective who was working for me. He was actually on light duty. So he was only allowed to work inside the building. His name is John Galarza. Great guy, by the way. So he's working on this one case where he gets a call from the victim who says, hey, listen, I think there's some fraudulent activity going on with me. Can I come in and talk to you? So he comes in. He fills out a report with Officer Galarza. As it turns out, somebody tried to purchase two brand new iPhone 5Ss, whatever they were back in the day, and in Spring Valley, New York. And the guy's like, the victim's like, I was not in Spring Valley, New York, and I got a call from the Spring Valley store saying, we have your phones, the computer's back up, come get them.
Wow.
So this detective, again, who didn't even leave the building, what he basically does, he makes all the necessary phone calls, contacts Spring Valley Police, hey, this is what we're looking at, we think there might be a fraudulent activity going on here, calls the store, don't release the phones, call the police when these two bad guys get there, okay?
Wow.
Fast forward a couple of days, these guys come in, the store knows about it, they hold them there. The police go there. They interview the two guys at the store who had the victim's driver's license. They had the victim's. They had a credit card in the victim's name. They had a Social Security number.
Okay. Wow.
I hate to interrupt. We've actually done stuff like this on our show where we report that on Facebook. There's actual sites where the scammers reveal all this stuff
Absolutely.
And give it to each other. And I've actually contacted victims in New Jersey, go, hey, by the way, all your stuff is online.
Right.
So, yeah, they get it all.
So, and in this case, what happened was what was the bad news for the bad guys, the mistake that they made was that the DL that they presented to the officer did not have a actual license number on it.
Oh,
nothing so like a bad driver's license.
Yeah.
It cost
thank
me
God
a lot of drinking.
Thank goodness for dumb criminals. So
yes,
now the cop
yes.
sees this, the Spring Valley cop sees this, and he goes, Mr. Such and Such, just curious, what's your date of birth? Guy says, oh, it's right there on my license. What's your date of birth? May 5th, 1975.
like that?
You know, I was pretty young then. I can't remember that.
Exactly,
yeah.
You know. So, long story short, turns out these guys were in possession of fraudulent identification, fraudulent credit cards, and the Spring Valley cops actually arrested both of them.
That's awesome.
So, good.
Yeah,
right on.
So there's a case where, you know, they probably got the information like exactly what you're saying, Davin, about going to these websites, or it could start with Facebook, but honestly, the bad guys actually have intelligence, too. Now, what they do, like you said, they share information. They really do.
They're very generous with everybody's personal information.
And so these two guys that were arrested in Spring Valley, New York, were asked, you know, how did you guys get this? Well, they wouldn't say a word. They said, all I know is some guy gave me this information and told me to go in and buy two phones. And he ate the $7,500 bail and went to the county jail.
Oh,
wow.
Well, it's honor among thieves. It's
wow.
really heartwarming.
Yeah. Go Rockland.
Yeah.
Go Rockland.
The other...
Oh, you want to...
Oh, there's one more quick case.
Okay.
Now, years ago, now we have technology where we can run somebody by their name pretty much and find out a lot of information, okay, including aliases. Years
what?
Ago,
don't look at me when you say that.
Years ago, that wasn't always the case. So we had one of my sergeants named Scott McPhee, who's working on a case a couple years ago. He was just a detective at the time. He's working on an identity theft case. Basically, what he's looking into is somebody had opened up mailboxes in another town,
mm-hmm.
all right, and was having basically stolen items delivered to that mailbox, you know, mailboxes, et cetera.
Oh, right.
And all they had on record for that mailbox was a name, first name, last name. He could not find any pedigree information on the actor because that's all this place had was a first name, last name. And so he finishes the report. He couldn't do any complaints, but it turns out this person had stolen identity and had stolen things online and had stuff delivered to this mailbox. One day he's walking out of headquarters, Bergenfield Police, and there's this person being walked in by two officers. The person is in handcuffs. And the officer asks, what was your name again? This person says the name. And it's the name of the person he's looking for.
No!
Yep. Pretty much dumb luck is how you guys actually handled it.
Yep. Well, what? I can say, not for nothing, since we tried to prosecute two cases and we actually got two arrests, we're two for two.
And never even have to leave the building.
Exactly.
You're a law enforcement network. Well, really, they're just hanging out eating donuts. Yeah, but still, things are getting done.
We get done. Look what we saved on fuel in the cars. We don't have to go anywhere.
But look at how many times have there's some case and they get some kind of like DNA and then they look it up, and the guy's already in jail because bad guys are bad guys,
right.
And they don't just do one bad thing.
Right, and it did take a little bit of work, Joe. For the record, I have to tell you that in both cases, mm-hmm. we did have to interview the people.
Right.
The woman we saw on the north side of headquarters.
Right.
That involves sitting and listening. You must have been breathless.
Oh, can I talk now? Can I talk now? So basically, he interviewed her. He used what I guess you could call the Jedi mind trick, and she basically fesses up everything.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
And it turned out
she didn't ask for an attorney?
No.
Dummy.
It amazes me. It amazes me. I mean, even if I did absolutely nothing, I'd be like, yeah, you're not getting anything out of me until my attorney comes, because just because my civil rights. But it's amazing how much they talk before the attorney comes.
Yay for stupidity.
Yeah.
who
for dumb criminals.
Who do you think are the most common targets by criminals, cyber criminals and scammers?
Without a doubt, and this is why my target audience with my seminars is who they are. Without a doubt, it's seniors.
Yeah.
And
Joe?
I think... Joe, can you tell us... is
not
it because
Spanish, not seniors, seniors!
Seniors. And I think there are a lot of reasons for that, actually. That was very good. There are a lot
Once
of reasons
Once in a while
for
he says something. Don't encourage him. No donut riff that you two had.
I love his laugh, though.
It's funny.
That,
it helps.
It's that manly laugh.
He's got a very manly laugh. Yes. You should see him in a dress when he plays with Rodney. But I digress. So you're saying it's seniors.
It's seniors, yes. And as I think, personally, I think the reason for that is because, for the most part, they're a very trusting audience. They really are. Mm. And they're receptive to what they will automatically assume the best about everybody in
yes.
most cases. But they're also targeted, in my experience, because bad guys might think that they have a nest egg. They might have cash on hand. You know, mm-hmm. they might be an easier target to get, and they might have more assets to get from the target.
Right.
So that's why they're my target group. Usually most people nowadays, or especially that are technology savvy, people our age, people younger than us.
Right.
You know, for the record, I'm 27.
I thought so.
But we're smart enough, and we're less trusting because we deal with it, we see it. And I think that seniors really just trust. And that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, but I have a friend of mine, you know, has her mom is like in her 90s, and she's a little worried that somebody might be calling her, you know, and she's not divulging anything, but she's a little concerned that it might be a scammer.
Well, that's good. In that case, I'd say call the police.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't hurt to call the police.
Right.
You know, I always say it's better to have and not.
My wife
than
says that too.
Call the police?
Yeah, but she has reason. We know you.
I always think that the key to fighting scammers and cyber criminals is education.
Absolutely.
We agree on that.
Yes, education and prevention.
So now you mentioned that you do seminars. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we can call it a seminar, but basically it's me in a room full of maybe 20 or 30 people and basically doing exactly what we're doing right now, except mm-hmm. not, you know, being as vulgar as you are, Darren.
Doesn't Davin. Even get my name right. See, jokes aren't easy, are they?
I like Darren better, though.
They're not.
If you're going to insult him, at least get the name right.
Anyway.
Apologies.
Sorry, but Joe threw himself in the barrel.
I did. I'm waiting for you to finish making fun of me now, so I deserve it.
No. We got a new couch in there. You like it?
Yeah.
It's healthy.
Joe is your own human shield. Cops in trouble here. Let me throw myself in front and say something stupid and not funny. Attaboy, Joe.
I'll be your partner. I'm going in. Call
you're
me
dead,
Murtaugh.
But you got a medal.
You're as Romano as T.J. Hooker.
Yeah. Okay,
minus the hair.
I'll be Heather Locklear.
If you were Heather Locklear, you'd get a lot more speaking parts on this show. My tolerance for your nonsense would be a lot higher. So what are these seminars like?
The ones that I've done so far were with senior audiences. And basically what I do is I ask them questions about things they might have dealt with. And then I'll give them scenarios, like the whole credit card thing I mentioned before about the phone calls. And I'll ask them, you know, do you think this is suspicious? And how many of you would give your name and such and such? And basically from there, I talk about the cases that I have dealt with, like we're doing now, mm-hmm. some of them. And then I close by prevention. I tell them how to protect themselves, you know, and what they can do to protect themselves and other people that they care for.
That's great, because when they hear things like that, they love to spread that around, too. They'll be, like, you know, getting on the phone with their grandchildren. Hey, yes. You know, if you get this phone call, do this.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it is really important for them to understand, because they, you know, I'm my own brother. He's not that much older than me. But when, you know, he first got on social media and first got on the internet at all, he was falling for all the noob tricks about, you know, oh, you know, your computer's infected. Click here. Give us your credit card number.
What could possibly go wrong?
What could, yeah.
Why is my junk on my screen? What happened? And I just mean junk. Talking about Pip the Horde.
Yes. My stuff, yes. Of course. Yes. Oh, my. And, yeah, you know, but he was just misunderstanding what was going on.
Yes.
But, you know, seniors do that, too. It's like, you don't send that to yourself, by the way.
What? No, but we just talked about this happened to me. They take over your camera.
Oh, yes.
And then the next thing you know, you see you. But I just made the background of your house junk.
Yes,
I pretended your brother was at your house. And his junk was out.
Wait,
on display.
Whoa. You know what? No, he might be messy, too. But that's the only junk that's going from him that's going to be
so
on
his junk
screen.
Is never anywhere near your junk.
No way. Okay, never happened.
Glad we got that clarified.
You know what? That's a terrible family rumor. At the family reunion, I heard that getting passed around. Not true.
All right. Well, we're going to hold Dave over for one more segment. He's going to tell us about some of the interesting things he's seen on the force. Hopefully some funny and interesting stuff. You're listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. Don't go anywhere. We're back. Listen to Davin's Den filling in for a Coffee Talk. We are joined for one more segment with Lieutenant Dave Daugherty of the Bergenfield Police Department. Just did a whole chunk load of scamming and cybercrime stuff. We're going to have the whole interview on davinsden.com because we're not going to be able to put it all on the radio show. So you go to davinsden.com. We'll have it unedited for you. So, Dave, tell us some crazy stories about the crazy things people do.
Where to start?
Well, hopefully the beginning.
I mean, in 23 years, I see a lot of strange things, a lot of silly things, a lot of bad things, you know. But there are, once in a while, I can tell you, something does happen that kind of makes you laugh. And
oh, yeah.
It makes you just say, okay, that was pretty good. Now I can go on for another week.
Muddle through.
Yeah. I always think about this one story that this woman was just so funny. That she got a break. Now, actually, officially, she got a break because she was a resident in town. But
I think there's official and unofficial. They're just like everybody else at their job.
Yeah,
I don't know how those paper clips disappeared. Officially, they vanished. Unofficially, they're in my backpack.
Years ago, I was a patrolman, relatively new, and I'm doing radar. And
the guy from MASH?
I thought it. You said it.
I'm lightheaded now. I'm verklempt. Is that the right word?
Yes.
Representing the Jewish people?
Yes.
No, I'll answer for you. It is the right word.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry.
So, what, are you Jew by proxy, Pip?
Yes, I'm Jew by proxy.
So I'm doing radar on the street. The speed limit there.
Wow. Were you?
You sirs have to move it along now.
You were frisky.
No shame.
I'm enforcing the speed limit.
There
on this street.
Oh, okay.
This seemed like the his hat and Radar's hat on the squad car. Well,
see Radar complain, but I have to look for Chopper. And there's Dave. Hold on. We'll be done soon. You want to get out of that ticket, don't you?
Dave, when you get home, you got some splaining to do.
Yeah, I'm sorry, hon. I never saw Radar after that, I promise.
It's a whole different meaning to MASH. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, MASH, MASH and Adam 12.
There's those interesting college days. Everybody, like, experiments. Yeah. Go ahead. But go ahead.
Anyway, we digress.
All right, so I am enforcing the motor vehicle speed limit law on the street, which the speed limit was 25 miles an hour. Nothing to do with radar. Okay? So I stop this woman. She's in her car. She's probably doing, I want to say, 48.
Wow.
25.
Okay.
Stop her, pull over. She's a middle-aged woman. She's very nice, very respectful, and she just totally gave me the unexpected. Gives me her paperwork. She lives in town. She says, "Officer, I'm really sorry. Can I ask why you stopped me?" And I said, "Well, ma'am, I have you on radar."
Yes.
You were speeding. She goes, "Really?" She goes, "How fast is the speed limit here?" And I said, "Ma'am, it's 25 miles an hour." And she puts her hand on her heart. And she looks at me and she says, "Oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. Officer, I'm dyslexic. I thought the speed limit was 52.
Really?
Yes.
And great answer.
So I looked at her. She looked at me. I stared at her. She stared at me. She began to crack a smile.
Even she knew she was full of baloney.
And I started laughing.
See, that would have been funny if it was like 55. They go, "What? That doesn't even make sense."
That's
still 55, you dingbat.
I'm dyslexic.
But her record was clean. And again, because she was a resident, she admitted she was kidding. She said, "I'm very sorry. I wasn't
paying
attention."
Admitted once you started laughing.
Yeah, right.
Once she realized it wasn't working, she admitted it.
But so I gave her a warning. And still see her around town once in a while, and she's doing well, by the way.
She said, "Say hi."
She's an eye doctor. Does the eye charts.
She works in the library. No, I'm kidding. She doesn't.
Imagine now she's going to sue him.
That's
but
great.
You were saying off air that you were able to actually to really impact somebody's life in a positive way.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. This is one of the stories that, you know, kind of keeps you going. It really does. The funny ones are good, but it's when you actually see you made a difference in somebody's life or helped to make a difference, even though it may not have been the best way to do it. Long story short, there was a kid in town, and this has happened a lot of times, but the success part of the story is at the end.
Mm.
Kid who had been in trouble with drugs, been in trouble with some violence, and he was given breaks until eventually I arrested him and hadn't seen him again for years. And it turns out, 7 years later, after I had arrested him, I see him again. And he turned his life around. He is one of the most successful people I know right now. I won't mention names or anything. But
No.
And that's good. Hey, you know what? If I save one life in 25 years, I did good.
That's got to be great to have that type of impact.
That really is fantastic.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
If we could do it more, it'd be great, but I'll start with one.
Does he? Sure. And he thanks you for it?
Yes. And
he doesn't run when he sees you?
No.
Well, Dave, I want to thank you for coming in. Some great stories, some great tips. Is there a website where people can learn more about the cyber stuff?
If they go to our Bergenfield Police website, it's actually, I wanted to say it's bergenfieldpolice.org.
There's bergenfieldnjpd.blogspot.com.
That's one. We also have Twitter and Facebook, so you can find us there.
All right. Dave, thanks for coming in. You're listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. One more segment to go. Last segment, and it's over. Stick a fork in it. Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. Going to do some comedy premises we hate as soon as I find the music. I have to do it all here. I really do.
Hey, get on that bottle washing. Chief cook and bottle washer. You never heard of that expression? Yeah. Okay.
Is the music going?
Now it is.
No, sorry. Sorry to say no.
What's the deal with comedy premises we hate?
So, Joe, what's tonight's comedy premise we hate?
Comedy premise that we hate would be the famous old vaudevillian trick, the arms.
Explain the arms to the folks.
What the arms is that a comic will go up there and pick a member of the audience to come up. And what he will do is he will have the audience member go behind him and stick their arms through him. And then he will tell a story with the person behind him acting it out with their arms.
Now, I've seen it where it's actually more than one person acting as the arms.
You could bring up two people to do it if you'd like, depending on the comic that's abusing it.
Abusing it. Now, in the bit's defense, the people do seem to love it, Joe.
They do seem to love it, but it's like one of the oldest, it's like an old vaudeville act.
It is an old vaudeville. It used to be on Whose Line Is It Anyway, to also.
Yeah.
That was, it's an improv trick.
Right.
And just because it's old doesn't mean that there aren't new chickens coming up every year that'll be impressed by it.
No,
people are impressed.
Oh, they're still impressed
they think it's genius.
And sometimes there are comics that accuse other comics of stealing that bit. That's been a vaudeville bit since the early, late 1800s.
I love the guys that say, no, I wrote it.
Yeah. She didn't write it.
Yeah. You didn't invent it. You're not that old.
Yeah.
What's your name, Shecky? Come on. Yeah,
but I get upset. Like, some guys need it. I mean, some guys, that's really all they have.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, fine. But then you'll see these guys that are slaying with original material.
And don't need it anymore.
But they still do it.
I know, they still do it. And the funny thing is, I have a friend, Jess, and she went to see me do one of my shows.
And you did the arms.
No, I didn't do the arms. One of the other comics was doing the arms. Jess is very cynical about stuff. And like, this, that, and the other. Guess who goes up and does the arms? Her.
She did the arms?
She went up and she didn't do the arms. She was the person, the participant in the arms.
Oh, I thought.
But she's a very cynical person.
Did she
I need a volunteer. She goes right up.
Did she think it was genius?
No, but she had fun doing it, you know?
But what about the people that say, well, you know, who's it harming? You know, the people enjoy, and that's the important thing.
Yeah, I guess. You know, basically, if that's your act. If, you know, I mean, me personally.
That's your act.
But still.
If you're Abbott and Costello.
Abbott and Costello. If there were some, you know, people have their philosophies about their comedy. Some guys don't write new material, they'll do the same old act. Some people will do that and think it's perfectly fine. It's your feelings about the business. Me, I like to write original material, you know, be a little political, do this, that, and the other thing. I could not do the arms. It's not, you know, something I would want to do. But there are plenty of acts out there that do it. But my problem is that they make it seem that it's theirs and they developed it.
It's not even, it's the taking credit for it.
It's the taking credit for it.
I have actually done the arms on stage.
Have you?
Yes.
How long ago was that, though?
But no, I wasn't. No, but I had my own cynical take on it.
Oh, okay.
There's two versions.
Well, how long ago did you do it? How long ago did you
last
do it?
Last week for the party, the private party I did. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, any port in a storm?
And I'm checking. No. Yeah. No.
Oh, no, the convoy's too close. Wave them away.
Makes no sense for the people.
No. Some segments are just for us. Sorry, kids.
Yeah, sorry.
Anyway, no, but I kind of mocked it. Like, I wrote my original own arms bit.
Right.
And I didn't even want to do it. I was already dealt my set. The other comic called me on stage to do it. So I wrote my own original arms bit, my own premise. And what I did was I was actually selling merch with it. So I take her back to my house, and we're trying to find something to listen to. And all I could find was my CD, which I'll be selling after the show.
So let me get this straight. Somebody called you up to do the arms.
Because they knew because we'd been playing the same place for a week together.
Right.
We were sharing the comedy condo.
Right.
And we must have been talking. I go, get a load of what I just wrote.
Oh, gotcha. Good. All right, good.
Funny.
And the other time was when I was doing the Culture Cup. In New Jersey.
Wow.
That's a mic that we used to do.
Wow.
What was wow mean, though?
That was a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
Long time. We're talking a long time ago.
I didn't know if wow meant good,
are we talking
bad,
about?
Oh, what a
no,
dump,
no,
what?
No. We're talking like,
late
wow.
Late 90s.
Wow, 15 years ago?
Yeah, late 90s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Something
wow.
like that. And I only did it once. I don't even remember, but I wrote it originally. It was the hands bit. It was a takeoff of the arms, but I didn't have somebody acting out. I was like doing something with hands.
They just stuck their hands between your arms?
No, I don't know if I called anybody out, but I think maybe I did the same scenario with hands. I don't remember. Johnny Watson remembers it. I don't remember it.
Oh, fine.
I think I do.
Okay, I don't. Refresh. What did I do?
I do remember sitting there going, what the hell?
Yeah, but that could be any time you've seen me. That's just with my jokes. That's
yeah, but I remember seeing Gonzo do it.
Still does.
And
yeah.
Still does.
Yeah, Bobby still does
Still kills.
But see, I know, but see, that's the thing, is that when I saw him do it for the first time, I had never seen it before.
No, if you've never seen it, it's brilliant.
It killed. I thought it was hilarious, and I did think he wrote it. I had no idea.
Yeah, civilians don't know.
No, they don't. And I was a civilian, thank you, sir, and I had no idea. It was great.
So what do we want to see? We want to see a cease and desist?
A cease and desist, but we have to pick, at least has to be one or two acts that we leave the arms to. Who would be the best arms?
Bobby Gonzo.
Bobby yes. Gonzo and Vic DiBattista.
No.
No.
No?
No.
No? No, Vic can't have it. And no. I'll tell you what, because he's one of these guys, he kills for 40 minutes with original stuff, and now he's a big
you
star.
Know, you're right. Vic destroys a room. And he
in a
does
good way.
It.
Not in a bad way.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the way I do when I walk
Vic,
in. And, oh,
Vic
stinks in here.
Is one of the most brilliantly funny people I've ever met and I've ever worked with. He doesn't need to do it.
Right.
He doesn't need to do it.
Right. So don't leave it to him.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Pity. And that's a pity leave.
Yeah. So Bobby Gonzo's the only one. And Bobby, you know, that's the only one I'm leaving it
what
to.
What about Eddie Gambino?
No. He should stop.
What would you, Joe, would you feel any better if they said right off the top that they didn't write it? This is an old bit, but.
Well, Vic admits it's an old bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah. I don't like the ownership. All right, so we'll have to leave it there. The arms needs to cease and desist, except if you're Bobby Gonzo.
Right.
Joe, what you got going on?
I will be at the Collegian Court in...
Cops Court. It's really been the night for you.
Yeah, I'll be there February 27th, Saturday, February 27th, at the Collegian Court in Chicopee, Massachusetts, 89 Park Street. And for reservations, call 413-331-4444. I'll be there with Dr. J and Claudia Stavola.
Okay. Looks for me for approval. All right. I want to thank Lieutenant Dave from the Bergenfield Police Department for coming again. Some great scamming tips. Pitt, do you remember the website he gave?
Yeah, it was Bergenfield Police.
Bergenfield
Police.
So if you
Google...
And there's scamming tips on there.
Yeah, and the Bergenfield Police has a blog, so if you look for
that. And if you get pulled over in Bergenfield, try the dyslexia trick. Anyway. Thursday, February 25th, there will be live comedy in Newburgh, New York at the River Grill starring Joe Bronzi. For tickets, call 845-561-9444. 845-561-9444. Friday, February 26th, live comedy in Oak Ridge, New Jersey starring Mike Morse at Casabianca. For tickets, call 973-697-9704. 973-697-9704. Alas, it is time we leave. It has been fun. Thank everybody. Thank you all for listening. Thank you guys for listening to Davin's Den. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell
no one.
Oh, by the way, go to davinsden.com. Davinsden.com to listen to the full interview.
Mm. Oh, yeah, it's
good.
Let's
do that again. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, keep on listening.